All right, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 305. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Pinkies out, baby. Pinkies out.
And Jeff.
Yo.
Who is, he is in witness protection.
He's and, afraid somebody will see him vaping.
Smashing loud.
Pete is a talking dog. Of course. We're trying out something new this week. Well, at least we know the audio should actually appear, so that's nice. We are recording via Google Hangout, so you can actually hit up my YouTube channel and watch us record this, which is a weird thing because I think we've only ever actually done one podcast in person. So
should do a PAX panel.
Oh yeah, the legendary.
Yeah, the one from your guys' hotel room at PAX East all those years ago. There was like 15 people in that room when we did that show, too.
Jesus.
That was a ton of fun, though.
That was a lot of fun.
But I guess let's talk about some games.
Oh, are we going to address the lost episode?
No. Well, I mean, it's not lost.
It's lost. It's forgotten. We've moved on.
Forgotten.
I don't know if you put it up there because you just mentioned that.
No, yeah. I mean there is an episode 304 that is up there. Our recording of 304 is not. So
interesting.
I recorded like 10-minute kind of thing and put it up there on over the weekend. So
can't not have a podcast. There's got to be one every week. Yeah. It's just a rule.
The show must go on.
That's right.
Like in the past, when we've lost audio, I've like cobbled together bullshit and we've put it up. But
fair enough, cool.
Actually, I like the audio on this. So Jeff will start sounding like a robot in about 7 minutes, but the audio actually sounds pretty crisp. So
I think we need to get Jeff a new computer here. Jeff, yeah. It's time to upgrade.
I think we What is one of those? What is it? Patreon? We'll get Jeff a Patreon.
No, he needs a GoFundMe page.
Get him a go fund Jeff's new computer page.
We still need to get him to shave that thing off his face. That's what he's trying to hide with the light.
That is terrifying. All right, Jeff. Well, Tony's actually nope. No, Pete's been playing the most recent game. So, Pete, kick us off with Overwatch.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking about where to begin here, but I guess we should just start from the very beginning, right? Which is that it is a hero-based first-person shooter.
Okay.
So,
it's a Battleborn.
Speaking of which, did you see that as soon as Overwatch came out, they discounted that game by 60%.
Oh, really? That's
inspiration to get it to sell. It was already 20%, 40%, and then they emailed coupons to everybody being like, here's an additional 20%.
Please, for the love of God, buy this. Don't buy that other game. Buy this one.
Still doesn't make the game any better.
No. That game is not in a good spot. I just think it's hilarious. But, yeah, so it is character-based, so there are 21 characters? Let me look up the...
That's a lot of characters to play as.
21 characters, yes, I was right. And they're all separated into different roles. There's offense, defense, and tank, and support. And so...
And then Pete forgot all about it.
No, I'm sorry. I got briefly... my phone went off and it distracted me. I am a dog. I just... The slightest of noises are flashing lights.
I want to know how you played this game with pause. On the controller? Like, how does that work?
No, I don't know. Thankfully, I have, like, really long nails, so I can actually just press the keys with the nails.
Huh.
The mouse is a little trickier, but thankfully it's actually like a top ball. Like the mouse actually, like I don't need to physically move the thing. The little trackball's on the top. It's one of those really weird Logitech mice.
So, really thought this out.
I have to. I mean, being the dog here, it's hard to play games sometimes. Yeah, so there's 21 heroes, 4 roles, offense, defense, tank, and support. And there are, when I talked about the beta that I had played, there were only 3 maps, and there were 3 modes in that in there. In the full game, there seems to be close to 10 maps, I believe. There's no way to choose, you just sort of get cycled into one. Right now, you just press the quick play button, and it just puts you up with something, and it seems like every 5 or 6 games, I discover a map I hadn't previously seen before. That doesn't mean there's a different mode for each map. The modes seem to be a payload map, like in Team Fortress 2, where you just have to escort a cart from checkpoint to checkpoint until it reaches the end, and the defending team has to hold out for a certain amount of time. There's a control point, attack and defend, also like Team Fortress 2. There's a King of the Hill style, where there's a point in the middle of the map, and the teams compete to hold it over up until it reaches like 100% or something like that. But that one is a 2 out of 3. So once a team holds the first map, it moves to round 2, and stuff like that. Like moves you further into the map and stuff like that. But those maps are never played in the same order. It's kind of nice. So
okay.
One time, like the Nepal map is the one that I play a bunch. That's the King of the Hill mode. So just like if you were to play it one time, you may get section A of the map the first time, and then round 2 is section C. But the next time you play it, you'll get section B is round 1 and section A is round 2. It sort of mixes and matches in order to keep you from like necessarily like gaming the system, I guess. And the only other mode that I've seen thus far is a combination of the control point and payload map, where the matches start with a control point, and if the attacking team wins or captures that control point, it then turns into a payload mode where they have to escort a payload throughout the rest of the map. And all the maps are pretty cool. They all take place in like real world locations, and I put that in quotes because the game is set on Earth, but some weird cartoonish type, obviously, with robots and all sorts of, you know, talking gorillas and shit like that. But, you know, there are maps set in Japan, there are maps set in England and Nepal, like I just mentioned. There's 2 set in America and stuff like that. It's visually awesome. I don't know if any of you guys had watched, like, the animated shorts that they had put out beforehand that were sort of like the Team Fortress 2 Meet the Team videos, but these were, like, 6 to 10 minute like vignettes, like story vignettes to sort of set up the characters in the world. And those are pretty awesome. I would definitely recommend the first 3. The fourth one's actually the worst one, because it highlights the game's worst character, which is Soldier 76, who's just the most boring and basic of characters in the game. He's just a white shooter bro, and you're just like, this is it. And then when you realize that he was voted into creation by the fans, it all makes way more sense.
He's really boring looking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way to like dump this into like a feed so that way it shows up on the video, but I don't know if there's a way to do that.
I mean, you can share your...
Yeah, I'm not going to share my screen. That's going to lead to bad things.
Let's see.
We're gonna see all your anime porn.
Exactly. Well, right now it's Overwatch porn. So.
This is I guess this is what it looks like. I don't know. Are you guys seeing that?
No, just a big black screen right now.
All
right,
great.
I'm watching Jeff Fabe.
One of the best things that you can do with this is that you can just click on a screen and it'll hold that image the whole time. So if you just want to, you just. It looks like Jeff is actually just watching television and while vaping, while occasionally looking at and paying attention to what we're doing.
Pretty much.
Jeff, are you screen sharing Jeff? Or Chris, rather?
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, now you're audio.
Well, that's good.
It's a shit show. Oh, now you're back.
What a terrible podcast. We are horrible people.
There we go. I'm back. Oh, well, God, what is going on?
Well, now we're screeching into the realm of infinite space.
All right. I don't know what's happening.
You had it there for a second, and it was just the main page, and it just decided to screen share itself into oblivion.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to play with that feature right now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But anyways, yeah. So 21 characters. I've played as maybe 10 of them. I played as some others in the beta, and I've realized very quickly who fits my style and who doesn't. I really don't like slow characters. There are a couple of supports that are super squishy that I, meaning they don't have a lot of health and they die very quickly, that I just don't have the skill to like use very properly or anything like that. Like I talked about in the last time I spoke about Overwatch, Pharah is the character I've played the most as, and she's the one with the rocket launcher and the jetpack. And so she sort of like forces everybody to think vertically, because she can just launch herself straight into the air. And so yeah, I mean it's a really fun game. The only problem so far is that they took the competitive mode out about a week before the game launched. It was in the closed beta for months, and then they were like, yeah, due to feedback, we're just pulling it out. So the closed beta suddenly became feature complete. They expect to have it back in the game by the end of June in like the game's first big patch. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure what else to say about it. It's fun. 6-on-6, you can change heroes at any time, so it's not like a MOBA where you're locked into your choice for the whole match. Though I wouldn't be surprised to see like a competitive mode or something like that that does do that, just to sort of force a bit more strategy. I almost imagine like esports things where like there's a coach who's watching the rosters at every given time, telling his team who to switch to and all that stuff. There's a brawl mode, like in Hearthstone, where they just chuck the rules out the window and do crazy shit. The first week it opened with like all of your ability cooldowns are like a second long, and everybody has 200 extra health, and everybody can move like double their speed and stuff like that. There's no stat tracking, but it's just fun and silly.
Yes.
If you want to try it out. Yeah.
All right, well,
it's fun. I don't know when I'll have a review yet, but
no one else got this game?
We're all old, Jeff.
Yeah, ancient. I'm 97 years old. I dye my hair.
What kind of like anti-aging skin cream do you use? Jesus, Tony.
The sun. I get enough sun. That's what it is.
Oh, I got you. Cool. Yeah, I recommend it. I mean, digitally it's $60, but that's because it's the Origin Edition, so it includes like a bunch of extra skins and stuff. That's the big thing, right? Is that like the game also has like a weird like pay model as well. Like you pay $60 and you get all the heroes and the maps. And those will be and the new ones that come into the game will be free forever, but every time you level up, like your player level,
right,
you get a loot box. You open that, and that has like four items that can range from skins to unique voice lines for the characters. Or
so it's like Battlefield.
Yeah, kind of. But you could also pay more money to get more loot boxes.
Also like Battlefield.
There's also a like loot coin currency that the boxes can hold that can let you unlock individual items. So the game doesn't do anything to explain that to you. I had to Google that myself in order to figure out what was going on there. But
are you playing with a controller or are you using the mouse and the keyboard? Because I saw Jim Sterling tweet that the game was way better with a controller.
I mean, I can't possibly imagine doing that on PC. Like, everybody else is playing mouse and keyboard, and it's so frantic, and depending on the character you're playing, Twitch-based, that I don't think it would be able to keep up. I've heard on PlayStation 4 and Xbox it's a lot of fun with a controller. Mm-hmm. And so, oddly enough, it's easier to play support on the consoles than it is in the PC. I don't know why that is, but I've been hearing about everybody having an amazing time with the healer characters on console. When I don't hear anything about that on PC, and I just, it's a little weird.
I don't know if this one I'm gonna play anytime soon, but Blizzard supports the hell out of their games, so
yeah,
chance it a year or two from now when I have some time to play it, that it'll be there.
I mean, unfortunately, they'll still be $60 because they don't ever discount their games, right. But
and everyone will be awesome at it. So.
That's wow. Also true. Jeff, as
Vape Master.
Yeah, Vape Master Hefe. Tell us about Far Cry Primal.
It's really, really dull.
Stop slouching, Jeff. Sit up straight. Dear God.
Because I've played too much. Man. It's. I mean, you guys are aware of it. It's like 10,000 BC Far Cry, so you're just like a caveman, and like it kind of strips away a lot of the other stuff that are in, it's in the other like Far Cry games, which is like characters and story and cool missions, and instead you're just like hunting and gathering and building up a village. There's like a slight story where like you belong to this tribe and there's like another tribe that's bad, and so you want to build up your tribe to beat the bad tribe.
I sound so excited about this game. I really want it now. Sign me up. Like, more Far Cry. Pretty boring.
Looks nice, and you know, like I'm playing it just because I don't have like. It's either that or play other games again, I guess. So, you know, it's something to play right now. But, I guess I'm liking it more than Far Cry 4 because it doesn't have any of the obnoxious, like, characters and shit. But, I don't know. That's all it is, dude. Like, you really are, most of what you're doing is just, like, going out and, like, hunting other animals and gathering shit so that you can build up your village. You know, you'll need so many resources. Purposes to build a hut, and once you've done enough exploring, you'll have those resources. The only cool thing I like about it so far, really, is you could tame different animals and call them to help you fight people and stuff. So I had a wolf for a while. I don't have that yet. I finally just got, like, I finally tamed a mountain lion, and he's stronger than my wolf was, and like, if I go, like, to find an outpost or a village or whatever, I will fucking send that wolf in and kill everything for me. That's pretty cool. Like, you know, I you could keep getting better and better stuff. Like, eventually, like, soon I should be able to get, a bear, like, which would be awesome. If I see a woolly mammoth right now, I could, like, ride it, I guess, and, like, run people over and shit.
Like the elephant in Far Cry 4.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's boring. It's really, I don't know if it's
that you make it sound boring.
I don't know if it's just me coming off of like two really good games in the last month or so. Like I just played Doom, which is like super exciting and, you know, like fun. And so I don't know if like this game is like bad or if it's me going back to like just playing an average game and I'm like, fuck this. To the point where tonight I popped in. Because I was just like, I'm so bored of playing this. Like, but
get in on some of the Doom multiplayer, Jeff.
I did try the Doom multiplayer out as well, which sucks. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not super far into the game, so maybe it gets more exciting as it goes on. Maybe the story develops more. Nope. It does not. You've heard this?
Yes.
Oh.
Of the Far Cry games, it is of like the more modern ones. It's the worst, and that's taking Blood Dragon into consideration as well.
Blood Dragon was, I thought, cool.
Well, I mean, like, Blood Dragon, you either loved or hated, but like,
yeah, it's like fucking 80s and lasers and.
I thought it was great. Music. The ending, yeah. Which got a little weird, but
it's like a six-hour Far Cry experience, though. It's not.
Yeah, this is a This is a six-hour experience stretched in about four times the length.
Dude, I've put in at least 6 hours, and I'm like, I think it says I'm 12%. But I am doing a lot of just, like, wandering around, and, it's just something, like, I play when I get home from work, and I just, like, wander around and do shit. Like, you know, maybe I'll do a couple missions, maybe I'll just, like, discover a cave, but like none of it is ever like exciting or rewarding or anything. And I don't know.
It's
like, except
it's pretty tame.
Yeah, I mean the like I said, the most exciting thing for me so far is that I can like build up an arsenal of animals to call on, and like that's cool, I guess. But
so
whatever.
It's Beastmaster, the game.
They call you Beastmaster in it.
It's awesome.
I swear to God, they call you Beastmaster.
Some of the most lazy writing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so far, really, I can't tell if there's anything more to the story than that. It's just like, this is the tribe you're in, and fight this other tribe. And
yeah,
you know.
And then there are other tribes, but in the end, it's like just defeat them as they come, and that's sort of...
Yeah, there's no villain, there's no like real kind of narrative going on other than that. Like, it's...
Great, remind me not to play that game.
It sounds like the kind of game that would be awesome for like $20.
Yeah, like it's not terrible. Like it's not like I said, it's very good looking and it's technically well made. But like,
here's what would happen if I paid $20 for this game. I would play it for like 2 hours and never play it again.
I mean, but you know, $20.
It depends. Like if you
I should have gone to a movie. It would have been cheaper.
Yeah. And
if you get it,
you got popcorn.
That's right.
Like, I got nothing else really going on right now. Like there's, like, a long stretch right now, and it might be longer than we think, where there's nothing, like, big coming out.
Speak for yourself.
I'm playing it solely because of that.
Yeah, I got games coming out, Jeff.
I got so many games coming out. Games here, games there, games everywhere.
No, I had nothing but, really, No Man's Sky for the next month, and,
Not anymore. Because the release date was procedurally generated.
Yeah. they got a zero wrong.
Did they come out and confirm this, or is this just something like...
They haven't said anything yet.
I think Sony did, right?
Did Sony? All I saw was that it was rumored to be delayed.
I saw a rumor, and then it got like picked up as news, like... So, I don't know.
I could have sworn that Sony had picked it. Let me look.
Yeah, it's not surprising if you saw a rumor get picked up as news, though, because nobody wants to actually do the research. So,
I saw, like, and I was like, well, that would suck if it's true. And then today it was, you know, No Man's Sky delayed.
Oh,
like,
no. Okay, so the article that I see...
But I don't feel like there was ever...
Say it's been reportedly delayed. So there's no like confirmation. It's just like, hey, yeah, people are telling us, but they've reached out to Sony for comments.
Sony's gonna wait until E3 and then pretend like it's good news.
Right. We're delaying this, and it'll come out when the PS4.5 comes out. It'll be a launch title for the Neo.
I was gonna say if it's bundled with it and you can only get it with the Neo.
You guys can watch me play.
Yeah, right.
It's just funny that it's reportedly delayed, and then there's no response from Sony or the developer saying like, "No, we didn't say that." It's just nothing. Like, okay, well, I guess.
Apparently, they'd already sent all their marketing materials to GameStop with all the like the old data on them, and they're like covering it up now with stickers.
Do you think they would respond to it and say...
They need to craft some sort of thing where they give it a good spin, where it's like, they are doing it to add on another 5 trillion planets for you guys to play on.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta think about it. Hello Games is a tiny company, and Sony, not very well known for their up-to-the-minute marketing and spin.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. So... If there is a delay and it got reported before they wanted it to be reported, they probably have no idea what to do.
I guess we'll hear something more concrete. I guess when the day arrives and it doesn't come to me from Amazon and it's not on the PSN, well, then we know.
I think they'll probably address it at some point before that, but maybe not. I wanted to jump off of Jeff's Far Cry Primal with Homefront, because that's a game that might be worse than Far Cry Primal. Actually,
I've been looking at your video clips. They are terrifying.
Right?
Terrifying.
They're horrific.
I can't believe you're doing this to yourself. Like, Simon, I applaud it, but simultaneously I say, why are you sticking the knife into your fingernail? Why are you doing that?
Like
slowly prying it off.
The videos that Tony is mentioning are if you're friends with me on Xbox Live, you can see them. But they are just the buggiest, most nightmarish things. Like people just floating in the air, like gesturing towards you.
People like firing point blank into an enemy who's stuck inside of a garbage can or something.
I forgot all about that one. Yes, there's a shipping container, and it's what was called a flashpoint, and so these random events that come up in the world, and you had to take out like 12 or so enemies. You have a team of people with you, and we took out 11 of the 12, and there was the 12th one was stuck in this box, and you couldn't get to it. Like his gun was kind of like clipping through the box. I don't know how he got in the box, because it's a closed box, but his gun is like clipping through the box, and oh, it was so weird.
Sounds dumb in like the word, like not even like in a way that wraps back around to being somewhat funny. It's just like I paid money for this.
It's like you walk down a street and there's just cars floating. Like people are like 3 feet off the ground. Like what's going on? They do a pretty good job of rendering Philadelphia City Hall, though. So there's that, I guess.
Fantastic. That's what everybody wants to see.
Yes.
I told you should have bought Doom, bro.
I will get Doom. Doom will probably be my replacement for No Man's Sky, so.
Yeah, buddy.
It'll still be there in July, and it'll be fine.
I bought my replacement for No Man's Sky today.
Oh, yeah?
GTA 5 for Xbox One, baby. I'm in.
Oh, really?
That'll definitely keep you occupied for a while.
Oh, yes.
That game's quite a bit of fun, so.
Yes.
Was it on sale, or you just got the early?
I've been looking at it every day for like a month now, and I finally just, screw it, I'm buying it.
Did you play it on last gen?
I played it for a review on last gen.
Yeah, he reviewed it for us.
Yeah, I bought it as well. I bought it on PS4, and I just kind of dick around in it. Like, I haven't played any of the story.
Yeah, see, that's I just have an urge to, like, drive around and just blow stuff up and, you know, kill random people.
Dude, it is really pretty on next-gen, and dicking around in the first-person mode is kind of fun, too. Yeah, I don't know. I play it every once in a while.
Yeah, the first-person mode is not the best way to play it, but it is kind of fascinating to like get at street level and see exactly how that all goes. And it controls okay. It's doable, but yeah, Homefront is it's an inconsistent shit show. You'll go from missions that are super difficult to like. I just did a mission at the end where I fought three enemies and released a prisoner. It should have been one of the hardest missions in the game, so nearing the end, and I'm infiltrating this most heavily fortified KPA compound where they keep the most dangerous of the resistance prisoners, and I just waltzed in. And then, like, you'll go upon something. It should be really easy, and it just takes you forever. So, yeah, it's a weird thing. My review is it's gonna have a lot to say.
Good.
Yeah, that's
what made you. Was it the Philadelphia setting, or was it the fact that you?
It's by the Crytek guys, right? Sort of. Ish.
What started out as the Crytek guys, then Crytek UK kind of folded,
Right.
And Deep Silver bought it and handed it over to Dam Buster Studios. They're the ones that apologize for, because this game actually started development at THQ, under THQ Montreal. And then THQ went under, and Crytek bought the rights to Homefront for like $500,000. And then Crytek UK went under, and
the story of how this game came into being is just so discouraging.
It's fascinating. It's super fascinating.
Well, yeah, it's still.
Of course, this game sucks. There's no choice. Like, right. What else? Like, how could it possibly be good?
Yeah, it's just one of those. Is this the last of the THQ remnants?
Like, what do you mean by that, Pete?
Well, like, all the properties that got, all the games that were in development when THQ went under, right? They were the only one.
Oh, no, Saints Row will live. Saints Row will live on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sure, and then there's Darksiders and there's other things, but I mean, of games that were in
development.
Like, because I mean, there was this one, and then there was South Park. Were there any others?
I don't know.
It's been a while now, hasn't it? THQ went down, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2013, I think.
Yeah.
There can't be that much.
Yeah, because, Saints Row 4 came out, and South Park came out under the Ubisoft banner, and this is finally out, so...
Didn't they own a strategy series as well, the Sega bot?
Did they publish Relic stuff?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Warhammer stuff. Yeah, sold to Sega. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then publishing rights to TurboWax Evolve were sold to Take-Two. So Take-Two was another... Or rather, Evolve was another remnant.
Okay.
Ubisoft acquired... that... Jesus fucking Christ. The second Metro game, I think, was also in development. Those were acquired by... That and Volition were acquired by Coke.
Yeah, so all that stuff is out there.
Yeah. Okay, so it seems like this might have been the very last one of those games that was like in the middle of being development.
R.I.P. THQ. R.I.P.
I'm just happy you just reminded me of South Park and that we're getting one of those.
Indeed.
That would be cool. Yeah. That's like this year, isn't it?
Let me see.
I'm not sure if it's this year or not. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets pushed to next year.
It just there's no date. It just says
the first one was really good.
It says just 2016. So I would maybe they showed it off at E3 when the first game was coming out. So maybe we'll see it again on the Microsoft conference.
Yeah. Jeff, you were asking why I decided to play Homefront?
Yeah, was it like the Philadelphia setting? Was it just the story history of it? Or did you saw potential in the franchise to get better? Like, it's got to be one of those, right?
It was mostly like I wanted like the fact that I live in Philadelphia and wanted to play a game in Philadelphia. There's potential in that series, but the first one was not a good game. And, They retconned all that for this, too, so...
Yeah, that's the weirdest part about it. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, like, this is brand new. Like, Korea is... They created the iPhone in this, and they also sold us all our weapons as we went about fighting in foreign wars over the next 20 years, and then they had put in a chip... or a backdoor into the weapons, and we're able to shut all our weapons off and then invade us and take us over.
Oh, I wonder why they felt the need to do that. Like, were they like, oh, we need to scrub the only interesting part of the Homefront franchise out of the game, or...
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I thought the best part of both of these games is the intro to the original Homefront, which uses, like, actual news footage, like stock footage of actual wars, like news footage of then Secretary of State Clinton, basically denouncing something that North Korea had done. It actually was a mildly believable set up for Korea gaining power. This, it's ridiculous. Like,
this sounds like science fiction.
Yes. And everybody's so angry in it. Like, all the characters are always yelling at you. And you don't have any sort of agency. You're the silent protagonist. And
oh, God damn it.
They yell at you and they're like, Ethan, you agree, right? And then you go, right. And it's like, but I didn't say anything. I haven't said anything in 20 hours. I guess I'll just go along with what you think.
How is it in 2016 we still have games that have silent protagonists in them?
Trying to tell you a story. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, Minecraft or something like that. You don't need a protagonist that talks, but playing a game that has a pretty heavy story piece, and your main character, who is supposed to be this catalyst for things that happen, never says a word. Like, he's just kind of there. It's a weird decision. I guess Call of Duty. Does your character talk in Call of Duty? I guess they do.
Do they?
I don't know.
Not that I recall, but I have not.
I don't remember it ever happening.
I don't remember the last.
It's kind of talk at you, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess that still works. It just, I don't know. I haven't played one with a sound protagonist in so long, man. That just sounds so weird.
Yeah, like even Master Chief talks. Not much, but he talks. He's been more chatty recently. But anyway, Homefront that's a nightmarish game. Don already uninstalled it from his hard drive, so.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked and appalled. How can you give up like that, Don? How?
Right, like, who am I going to play any more multiplayer, any more cooperative multiplayer? Because there's nobody playing it. Sorry. So I would obviously need the one other person I know that has the game to play it with me. Tony, tell us about Total War Warhammer. I know you've played more of it since last week.
Yeah, I actually started a new campaign because I was getting bored with the dwarves. So I started a campaign as the vampires, which is a new experience for me. Because basically at any time, the vampires can just go ahead and raise an army out of dead people. I actually had one battle where I was fighting this other army, and everyone in my entire army was, it's hard to say killed because they're undead, but they were all taken out. And I wiped out the enemy army too. But as soon as the battle was over, my vampire lord just raised up everybody from the dead again. So it was like I lost my entire army, but they were instantly back. So they're kind of overpowered. It's kind of easy to run right over the top of people because, I mean, you're just you never stop having troops. Like, you can always have troops. So with an endless supply of manpower, it's hard to be stopped. So, but I've played a lot with the vampires. It's a unique experience, I gotta say, and as far as Total War goes, when you fight against a vampire lord, and you take out the vampire lord, their entire army instantly disintegrates.
Jesus.
Because they're bound to that lord. So as soon as they've been killed, all that magic like dissipates. So their entire army just instantly falls out. So every Total War game that's had achievements has always had this one achievement for wiping out the entire enemy army. And it's always really hard to get because they always put some sort of caveat in there, like there has to be 1,000 troops in the enemy army. So this time, I just, you know, it was like a 1,200-man enemy army, and you take out the lord and they just all instantly died. I was just now every time I fight an undead army, I just aim for the one guy on the battlefield, and once you take him out, everybody else is gone.
So that's sort of like what keeps them from being overpowered is like, well, if you can get around to that one guy, then the whole thing just...
Right, and you'll notice the starting deployments for all of the undead armies start with all of their troops like deployed in basically a circle around the necromancer. Just to protect them from being attacked. I like the game. It's got a lot of really cool stuff in terms of spectacle. They've done some stuff to make it look really awesome. The Sieges, for instance, if you played Sieges in other Total War games, you've always had, like, this city, and you can choose which direction to attack from. Now they've forced it so that all the Sieges will be over this one wall, so the two armies are concentrated and fighting over this one position. You can't, like, outmaneuver the enemy by putting half your army in one spot and half another and just attacking an empty wall. Like, so there's always going to be a fight during the siege. So, and of course they've done everything they can to make the sieges look as awesome as possible. But I guess the problem that I have with the game so far is that it's not very challenging.
Okay.
Before I got into this one, I was playing Total War Attila, which is probably the most challenging and interesting Total War game. And before that, I was playing Rome 2 in the Caesar expansion, which is also really, really challenging because they were always placing you against really your army is always facing overwhelming odds. So you're always having that kind of, how do I get through this? I don't know what I'm going to do. In Warhammer, the campaign seems really easy. Like, I always seem to be able to deploy multiple armies against my one opponent's army, and like, It's too easy to get through. Like, I never feel challenged, which is kind of frustrating. They did add in, like, legendary battles to the campaign, but you have to unlock them as you go along. And they're not that, like, I've been playing my vampire campaign for, like, 12 hours, and I've only fought one of those battles so far. So they're interesting, and, you know, it's nice to have them there, but they're not frequent enough to really make a difference in the grand scope of the campaign. And the campaign map, I found, is really small, and there's not a lot of factions in terms of the number compared to previous Total War games. Like, I wish there were more. And, of course, I knew nothing about Warhammer going into this, so now I'm doing research, and I'm like, okay, you left out the elves, you left out this group, you left out this group. So it looks like they've set themselves up to do a lot of expansions, and in doing that, they've let a lot of the world has become really narrow. So,
okay.
Like, I like playing the game. It's enjoyable. I just wish there were more. Like, I see myself playing it for a while, but I just, in terms of a campaign, the campaign is not the best in the Total War series.
Hmm. Are you going to play any multiplayer with Don?
Yeah, I think that at some point I'll have to slaughter Don's army. I've actually watched Don play on Steam before. I've watched him play, what was he playing? Shogun 2, and he's not exactly the best Total War commander, so I don't... I'll try to make his death merciful and quick.
all right. Well, before we move on from that, would you recommend this as a good starting point for Total War? Or?
Yeah, I would say, you know, given what I just said, it's not, right. The game isn't going to pressure you into nothing, and I know Don is finding that, he's finding it more difficult than I am, so part of it may be that I've just played too many Total War games and I've, you know, mastered the art or whatever, but,
right.
I would say it's very entertaining, the units are a lot of fun. It does a lot of things to walk you through the game when you first start. It in terms of Total War tutorials, it definitely has, like, the number one, the best. So if you're looking to start into Total War, it's definitely not a bad place to go.
Okay. All right, let's do some news.
Hold on, I got some great news for Tony.
All right, well, Jeff, why don't you hit us up with your news?
Fufu Studios tweeted at me, Tony, and said that a big patch for Pure Hold'em is coming soon.
Ooh, great. I'm so
long
excited
after,
about that.
Long after anyone is playing right. The game.
You and I can go mano y mano because we'll be the only people playing.
Yeah.
Actually, we probably won't be the only people playing because I've uninstalled it a long time ago.
Jeff, you will be the only one playing.
Oh, man. I was desperate to play some poker the other night, and I tried that and the old Texas Hold'em from 360, and it's, like, real... Like, you can find a couple people to play, like, non-tournament, but it's bad.
Oh, man, I can't believe I spent all that time talking about Total War. I'm wearing my Total War shirt.
Oh, nice.
No, that is fancy shirt there. Jeff, did you have other news?
No, that's it. I agree.
Big patch.
The only thing we care about is Pure Hold'em. Damn them. Damn and fuck that game.
All right. I just love how back in the day they would not respond to any of our tweets about it. Right. And then all of a sudden now they're like, guess what?
We fixed it, finally. Well, great. It was, when were we playing this game? It was months ago.
It was a year ago. Probably almost a year ago.
It's weird that they haven't released any other Texas Hold'em games on Xbox One, though.
It's very sad. Just give us Full House Poker, goddammit.
All right, so Mighty No. 9...
Oh boy.
That's a game.
Maybe.
It could be a good game. It could be okay.
What?
Why? Alright. Why could it not be good?
I mean,
outside of all the stupid shit around it, it could be okay fun.
I don't think they actually have enough money to finish the game that they wanted to make.
Isn't it coming out like next month?
Yeah, but I mean, how many times do they have to come back with their pans out, like asking for more money? Like, and that game has been delayed about 7 times at this point. And
yeah, I'm just saying, like, just forget all that stuff, and like, you know, if you're just somebody who buys it when it comes out, it might be fun. Like,
I don't know. I looked at the. Did you see the trailer, Jeff?
I did after I saw your email, and oh my god.
I mean, that also is why it could be bad.
Yeah, it didn't look particularly great. I mean, maybe it's just a bad cut trailer, because everything about that trailer is terrible, but...
Hey, dudes, do you see that you can do a dash?
You can dash over here.
Did anyone else watch that trailer?
I tried not to. I heard it was really bad, and now I don't care anymore.
Well,
this is a dumb trailer. It's like, the worst possible version of, like, a Rockstar trailer where, like, they try to tell you about the game, but here's just like, yo, dudes, check it out. You can fucking dash. Okay?
like, it's this big feature or something.
Yeah.
I think the Kotaku article where I kind of saw the trailer at, the opening line of that is pretty good. It's in quotes, "and make the bad guys cry like an anime fan on prom night."
That is a line in the trailer. Yeah.
Says the cringy narrator in this new trailer for Mighty No. 9, a video game starring anime characters. It's ridiculous. I don't know, it just doesn't look like Mega Man to me, though. So
that's you know what also doesn't look like Mega Man is Mega Man.
Yep. Yeah, there's that.
They were even a little cartoon redesign, and it's really his eyes. They look oddly dead inside, and that might just be due to all the stuff that Capcom has done to him over the years, or lack thereof.
Wait. There's a new Mega Man?
There's not a new. I don't. Is it a game? Hold on. Let me see. It's a new cartoon.
Yes.
Coming out next year. I'm going to just put this link in the chat for you to click on, Jeff, and you can just look at the picture right there. And just look at the eyes. If animated things could feel like despair, that's what this looks like.
I mean, it could be worse.
It could be. But not by much.
Not entirely sure how, but... Yeah, it's what I'm looking at here. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I think it's a better character design than Mighty No. 9.
Sure.
But that's not saying much. No.
Yeah.
I think Mighty
No. 9. I kind of want to play Mighty No. 9, to be honest. I mean, I know.
What was that, Tony?
It'll be fine. Like,
Mighty No. 9 is destined to disappoint. There's no other way for it to go.
Jeff's holding out hope.
Yeah, how's that worked out for him in the past?
Yeah. If Jeff
has a 20-hour download,
on all these games he holds out hope for and spent it on a new computer, he wouldn't have these issues with the podcast.
I have no hope for it. It looks like a downloadable game, you know.
His computer's already dying.
It is. How much is it though? Is it a? It's not a $60 game, right?
I thought it was 20.
20's not bad. I don't think I'll be getting it, but I'll let Jeff take the hit on that one, and if it's good, I'll get it when it goes on sale in 3 years for $5.
There's going to be no No Man's Sky to play that week, so...
It's true.
Why the fuck not? Come on, co-op with me. Let's do this.
But I won't have played Doom yet, and that sounds like a better deal.
Doom is a great deal. Doom is awesome.
All right. So, yeah, there was that Mighty No. 9 trailer. The June Games with Gold were announced. It actually doesn't look like a... It looks like a pretty decent month. Goat Simulator on Xbox One from June 1st to the 30th.
You got goats?
I'm happy I never broke down and bought that one.
Right? And also happy I never broke down and bought The Crew. June 6th to July 15th. That was one that has been, like, I've been hovering over possibly buying it.
Me too.
Just because, like, hey, I wanted, like, an open-world racing game, and I'm glad I didn't, because now I don't have to.
Isn't The Crew the one that has, like, an approximation of America where you can, like, just go, oh, yeah, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to be downloading that for free? Yes.
Yeah. I definitely want to give that a go. I had played the beta, and it wasn't great, but I'll play this for free. Super Meat Boy on Xbox 360.
That's cool.
And also XCOM Enemy Unknown is the other one on
360. Yeah. So
it's a slew of decent games there.
I think I might own Super Meat Boy. I can't remember, but regardless, the crew, I'll definitely, like, put a little bit of time in just to check it out.
And I'll try Goat Simulator just to, like, screw around with it, right? Like,
yeah, I really don't know what that is or anything. I just remember people, like talking about it when it came out.
I'm excited about simulating goats.
I'm sure it's really dumb, but, hey, it's pretty fun. They're all kind of stuff that I was interested in, at least, you know.
As far as I know, Sony has not announced their June PS Plus games, so that's still out there. Yeah. Let's see. Nintendo. There's a possibility that they have a handheld codenamed the MH, but Jeff mentioned that this might have been debunked.
Might have. I don't know. I clicked on an article. I think IGN published an article about it, and then all the comments were like, yo, you fucking idiots, this has already been debunked. And that's all. I mean, so I'm going out with commenters. So.
Well, that was... What?
But at the same time, it seems highly implausible, considering what everyone thinks the NX is, that there would be an actual other, like... Who knows, though, with Nintendo? Because...
Yeah. I mean, that's just what everybody thinks the NX is. I mean, nobody actually knows.
It could be a fucking, like... It could be anything. It could literally be anything. It could be a rubber ducky that is your controller. Like, it doesn't...
No, I would actually be okay with that. I would buy a system like that.
I would buy a system that you could put in your bathtub.
Yeah, you could bring the rubber ducky in your bathtub and shit will happen in your game. I have to believe, though, that there's some credence to what has been rumored for so long. Unfortunately, Nintendo is not going to update on this until they feel like it. It could be the day before that NX comes out, and they're like, hey, this is what it is, guys.
Right.
We don't have to build up to this. We don't have to give developers any time to fucking develop shit for this. Fucking assholes. I hate them.
Oh, I love how bitter Jeff is.
All right.
So good.
Well, This next bit of news isn't going to make Jeff any happier, so...
Yeah, just news that just makes
Jeff... Oh, no.
Yeah, this is the Xbox news, isn't it?
Yeah, so the rumors that a upgraded PlayStation would be coming out later this year, kind of, they've been going around for a little bit now. But word dropped early this week that Microsoft's going to have some hardware announcements at E3, some of which not all that surprising, like a slim model of the Xbox One potentially coming out. That kind of makes sense. And I guess there's another new kind of Xbox TV device, which would allow you to stream stuff, kind of be like a Roku or a Amazon Fire Stick or something like that. That would allow you to stream content from your Xbox One to another television.
Like a Steam Link machine?
I guess you could stream games, but it's more of like a media center, hey, you want to do Netflix or something, like you'll be able to get your Microsoft content on this stick and stream it from there. I guess the big piece, though, is that potentially late next year, Microsoft will be releasing a new Xbox thing, upgraded hardware, new graphics processor, and if Polygon's article is to be believed, it'll be more powerful than the PlayStation 4.5. So,
of course.
Great.
Why wouldn't it be?
So we could play more indie games on fucking way over hardware. Like, I don't know if you guys saw what I had to say earlier today about like this shit. It's like they seem way too focused on the hardware, and they're not really delivering us games to play. Like, why do I care? Why do I need something more powerful, dude? Uncharted 4 looks amazing. Give me more games.
I don't know. I'm not super surprised by Microsoft doing this. Like, the original Xbox, Tony, you had one of those, right?
Right.
And that was a 4-year life cycle, I think, from when it came out to the 360.
Let's see, I got it in 2000. Yeah.
It was a failure, and I guess...
I mean, I don't view the Xbox One as a failure. It sold a decent amount of consoles, but...
Are we talking the Xbox One or the Xbox One?
The Xbox One.
Okay.
Not the OG original. Xbox.
Yeah,
okay. But I could see where Microsoft might want to jump out in front, but I don't know if having something that's only, you know, a little bit more powerful than whatever this new PlayStation coming out is makes a whole lot of sense. Like, it doesn't sound like a full generational leap.
And the thing is, like, the thing with Xbox One, it was not the hardware that's the problem. It is, I guess, inferior hardware to PS4, but I play most of my games on Xbox One. So it's the problem with Xbox One was their messaging, like their E3 beforehand, which is unfortunate because, like, even I turned around on it, but, like, the mass public just did not, like... I find it a preferable experience. I like Xbox Live. I like the control. Or I'd rather play on Xbox than PS4, but in general, it's just PS4 is extremely dominant, it seems like, this generation. But I don't know how a hardware revision fixes anything, really. I guess it's...
For either one. Like, I mean, Tony hasn't bought a PlayStation yet, so the 4.5 makes sense for him, I think.
Yes, please. Give me one.
Right. But, like, I don't know if I want to drop money on getting a Neo. Like, I already have a PlayStation 4. Pete, what do you think about the PlayStation 4.5 thing?
I think it's a wait and see. I think it's more like... What, Jeff? Jeff?
We're losing Jeff.
Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Jeff, oh God. He's gone. We lost him.
He's right here.
There he is.
There we go.
It's all the vaping.
Having a meltdown?
He's vaping.
Oh, that explains it. Okay.
Oh no! Oh no!
Puppy's gone.
Oh,
he's
gone. All right. Hey, oh no! Famous last words. Do we wait for him, or what do we do?
No, just keep going. He said he might have to leave anyway because his computer might explode. So
fair enough. Yeah.
I'm surprised he lasted that long.
No, he lasted what? Hour, almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We need to send him to like Best Buy and, on one of those sales and get him like a $200.
Yeah, like.
Fuck! If he just bought a tablet, like a modern tablet, he'd be fine at this point.
Right.
But yeah, no, I don't mind the idea of them. I'm willing to wait and see what exactly the difference is. If it's negligible, then who cares? If it's to the point where, excuse me, games that run on the Neo like run like shit on the base PS4, yeah, I could understand people being angry, but I think everybody's putting the cart before the horse in this situation right now.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything yet, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with Jeff in the sense that like everybody's focusing too much on the hardware when there's not nearly enough software to warrant this like kind of push. I just wonder if Sony and Microsoft especially, are just trying to push, like almost create a fake news cycle in order to get people interested again in terms of, like, if Microsoft comes out with this non, like, slim version, the other one that you were talking about, and it has a new name and stuff, and people don't know it's, like, an Xbox One console, they may think it's different from the Xbox One that doesn't let them play their used games and has to be connected to the internet all the time. And...
Right, like, you come out and name it something different, and... you get positive messaging out there instead of the negative messaging that they had before, and maybe people jump onto that.
Yeah, like the stuff that no matter what they've done, they have never been able to escape. I don't see why Sony feels the need to do it. Like, that's the only thing that kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But
I guess the other thing that, and I don't, obviously we don't know anything really about the validity of this. It's just, you know, I guess Kotaku ran a story and Polygon ran a story about, you know, the specs on this potential system. And in the Polygon story, they mentioned that it may be Oculus ready. So that would be an interesting addition to it, like if Microsoft kind of teams up with Oculus to give them their VR platform.
Well, I mean, it already comes with the controllers. Well, it's right. Or it's supposed to.
They've already kind of teamed up in that sense, but like being able to, you know, where PlayStation is going to have the PSVR, but Microsoft doesn't have a comparable VR solution. And in this case, they wouldn't really have to do the R&D on it. Oculus would do all that. Like, they've done that. So if they could just make a box that is ready for it, it would give them a space there.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jeff would hold off on buying PlayStation VR if he could get an Oculus for the Xbox, though.
I've heard, I don't know, people... I mean, I guess, again, it's a software before hardware thing. I don't know how impressed everybody is with their VR purchase of the Oculus.
Right.
I've actually heard one person say that...
Oh my god, he's back. I didn't even know you were back, Jeff. Yeah. Welcome back.
I heard someone say that they liked PSVR way more than Oculus, that the sense that you're actually in the world in PSVR is way better than in Oculus, where it felt like you looking at a screen or something more. I forgot which podcast I heard that on, but
I do wonder if that's a software thing, though, right? Like, if
maybe
what they tried on Oculus was more of like, hey, I'm staring at something, and the PlayStation VR thing was more immersive.
I've also heard that the PSVR headset's very comfortable and stuff, and so
I have heard that. Yes,
that definitely goes a long way.
It but they could, fancy.
Yeah, they could do revisions, obviously, to Oculus and adopt it and, you know, put it on Xbox and get something new, I guess, right? Like, it doesn't seem like Microsoft has any real desire to jump into it, though. So.
No, that's why I think, like, it you know, if this new system is Oculus ready, like that could be their you know, their stepping in point where they don't have to kind of do it.
But yeah, if you're just going and buying the Oculus as it is now, though, that's a more expensive proposition, wouldn't it still be, right? Like,
Well, I mean, we're talking about a year from now, too, so, like, you could have the Oculus 2 at that point or whatever, and might be a revised, lesser-costing piece of hardware.
All I know is that, you know, this October, I'm going to have the PSVR. That's the only VR headset I'm buying for quite some time. So
We want to do a podcast like this with you with the VR headset on.
Yes.
We want to watch that.
You can actually see his face.
Right? Yeah, we have to get you some.
I'm so excited for VR. I know. Well, that might be just a matter of me moving my like laptop to my coffee table right in front of me, and who knows. But I'm still actually really excited for it, despite the fact that it doesn't seem like anyone talks about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still a ways off, right? It's still, what's it, October?
No, obviously, no one's really talking about Rift or the Vive that much now. Like, I don't hear much. Like, it's not like a huge splash, at the very least, you know?
Yeah, well, there hasn't been that killer app that makes everybody want to, like...
What killer
app? You mean Job Simulator?
No, Job Simulator was great for, like, 10 minutes, and then once you saw everything, it was just sort of like, all right.
Well, there's that one game, Gollum, I guess, for PS4 that is, like, a real game, you know? So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
that's the thing, is that I don't think there are any, like, quote-unquote real games yet.
I'm glad Jeff is taking the hit on this one.
Yeah.
It could be a very expensive hit.
All right. Next week, Daxter is asked to join us, so he will be here. And we're getting very, very close to E3. I think we have 2 episodes left before E3 hits. And Tony goes on his yearly trip away from us.
Last year was like the first time it hadn't happened, but we're back to the normal this year.
Yeah, so Tony will miss E3 with us again. But Daxter next week, and then I guess E3 predictions the week after.
Wait, what's next week?
We'll have a guest on, Daxter.
Oh, cool.
He'll be on. And maybe Fozzie will be back for the first time in like a month.
I was going to say, maybe we'll have another guest on as well.
He's going to have another.
I was going to say, you stole my fucking joke.
we'll have some stuff. I don't think there's anything new coming out, really, that we're going to be hitting on, but...
When's Mirror's Edge?
That is in two weeks, a week from Tuesday, so...
Oh.
Wasn't it supposed to be in May? Wait.
Yeah, they delayed it about a month.
Yeah, it got...
When?
It got pushed to the 7th. Comes out on the 7th.
I could have sworn it got pushed to May, and like that we were like right upon it.
Close.
I'd be interested, but, like, I have no connection to the series, you know? So, like, I think I tried the first one, that was it, you know?
Yeah.
I think Tony...
Well, that is the series, that one game that I test.
I like the first game well enough. I might try this one. I think my name's down on the room thing, actually. I'm not sure. I'll check.
I tried the first one. I thought it was all right, but, like, I don't know. It would have to get pretty glowing reviews for me to, like, be interested enough to buy it at release, you know. So we'll see.
But we'll have that, and I guess we'll have that in 2 weeks. I don't know what Daxter wants to talk about. He asked to be on, so
yeah.
We'll see. Should be
some
interesting.
Hmm.
Maybe Fozzie will be back, so we'll see. If we could get this screen thing to work here, we could actually do the game show in a way where we could have like images and stuff. But
that would be tight.
I'll just keep playing with it until we get it to work.
sweet YouTube clips.
Jeff, and your big glowing sun in the right-hand corner of your screen, say goodnight.
Goodnight.